Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we're recording.
Yeah,
so
we're recording.
This is just to check the levels and everything.
Yeah, but we're going to leave it in.
We're going to leave it in.
Because it makes, last week I said, we'll leave it in because it makes it sound quirky.
Quirky, yeah.
Now this week, it makes it sound relatable.
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 So, yes, relatable is one of those words that you young people use. What does it mean? I've always been
relatable.
Relatable
just means it's bringing the listeners or the viewers or whatever. They feel like they're like you because you're not so professional, you're not so clean cut. It's like a bit like rock bands where one of them's like got messy hair. It's the same thing. This is our messy hair.
This is just our messy hair. Good. Okay, well, can I start now though?
Yeah, no, you can start.
Okay, well, hello and welcome once more to our Generation
Gap.
Hello to our Generation Gap podcast. I'm semi-famous broadcaster and Z-list celebrity Martin Kellner, and I'm with my daughter, 17 years old. It's Ruth. Ruth, hello, and welcome.
Hello.
So this week we've got a variety of things to talk about. First of all, I tried to discourage you from going to see the film The Greatest Showman because I'd read the reviews, and there are lots of good films out at the moment. And then you said you were going with your friends to see The Greatest Showman.
Had a great night.
Which looked like complete rubbish to me. And all the reviewers said it was rubbish. And yet, it's become hugely popular.
Yeah, it's because it's really fun. And the songs are pretty good, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've been listening to the soundtrack.
On Spotify. Now, we had a little bit of a discussion about how much soundtrack you're allowed to play without breaching copyright. Because you know...
Now, the thing is... Are they going to do us for copyright anyway?
I don't think they'll
do us.
Does
someone have to be listening to do us for copyright?
I think they do. But I think you can play about 15 seconds or 20 seconds for review purposes.
I'm just going to play it from the start because it's too hard to scroll along anyway.
Yeah, play a bit of it.
I'm going to put This Is Me, and this is the one that's been nominated for a Golden... No, it won the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
It's been nominated for an Oscar. This is this song.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away... They say, because we don't want you broken.
Yes,
that was
that's
it. That was 18 seconds. It didn't even get to the chorus. Yeah.
Well, I heard it. I mean, I've not heard the tunes anywhere else, apart from when you've been playing them. And it just seems like that same, you know, oh, here we go again. It's another Frozen.
Yeah, it is. But it doesn't make it any less enjoyable. And also, when things are familiar, it doesn't mean they're boring. It just means they're nice.
No.
You can say that about the Beatles song, as much as we both... love the Beatles. We can say that few of their songs,
well,
they sound similar.
There is a difference, you see. Yes, there's few of their songs do sound similar, that's right. But the difference is that with the Beatles, they're sort of like simple love songs. She loves you, yeah, 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 that's the end of it. But with these songs that you hear in musicals these days, like The Greatest Showman, that particular song, it's all, you have the power, you can do what you want, you will be strong. It's all that Oprah Winfrey type of stuff where, you know, go out there, girl, do what, you know, you can achieve whatever you want. It's my dream. Go on the journey.
All right.
Well,
all right.
Let me give you the bad news. The bad news is that only about one in half a million of you will become Oprah Winfrey or whatever the heck it is you want to do. So they're selling
but
you a false
no,
dream.
They're not selling you and saying, oh, you can be famous. That's not what the song is about. You haven't seen...
No, I've not seen the film.
You haven't
I don't think you
always take reviewers' word as gospel when they're actually not, because it's, first of all, film is completely subjective because it's up to personal tastes.
Well, no.
True or not true?
Not true.
Okay, well, here we go.
I take the view of somebody like Anthony Lane in The New Yorker or the view of Peter Bradshaw in The Guardian. I take the view of somebody who's seen thousands and thousands and thousands of films. I mean, I've seen a lot of films, but these guys
have
seen
a lot of films.
These guys have seen Can we do it without you taking the mickey out of me? You know, these
yeah,
guys,
no, I get it. They're very, they understand film. Yes, they understand
it's objective. It's not subjective. They're not saying I like this film, I don't like this film. They're reviewing it on the basis of all the thousands of films they've seen in the past.
We went to see The Killing of a Sacred Deer because it got good reviews, did we not?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that film?
No.
So, if this one got bad reviews, you can still enjoy it. It doesn't have to be a good film.
No. Well, that's true. There are enjoyable bad films.
And that's why it's not going to last forever. Like, it's not going to be a film that we look back on. It's not Cinema Paradiso or like any of those types of films. But what it is enjoyable, fun, and it's escapism at its very truest.
Yeah. What?
I was just saying it was shaking. The paper.
That's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah. That's, you see, you're talking about being quirky and relatable.
Yeah, you want to be quirky and relatable, but not annoying.
It's amazing the range of things you found annoying.
I find almost a lot of small things annoying.
Go on, give me a list of the three things you found annoying.
People who chew loudly.
Yeah. Or even chew at all.
I prefer if people didn't chew in my vicinity.
Mm-hmm. What else do you find annoying?
What else do I find annoying?
Well, a lot of your friends, from time to time, you find annoying.
Dad, you can't say that. I find small things that they do from time to time annoying. I don't find them annoying.
No.
Anyone who's friends with anyone, you find some of your friends annoying.
Yes, but I don't. I think what the difference between daughters and sons is that when you've got a son, they might find some of their friends annoying, but they don't share as much. Listen, you'll bear me out on this, listeners. Anybody who's got a daughter will tell you that at some point they've had this conversation with their daughter about how annoying they find other girls at school or at work when they're in the workplace. And I think that is...
Yeah, I think it's because girls have to be polite to each other all the time, and it gets pretty exhausting, to be honest. Yeah.
As we're talking about school, where you do spend, like, we ought to explain, you're in sixth form college, really, aren't you?
I'm in college. Sixth form is when it's attached to high school.
To high school. So you're in college 2 years up to A-levels,
I don't want to say what college I'm at.
No,
the podcast.
You don't have to. But two very, very hard years for you because
A-levels
are hard and very important. But do you think they overstress the importance of them?
No, I think with GCSEs, massively overstress the importance of them. I think A-levels are as important as they tell you.
Yeah.
Because it decides what university you go to, which is a big deal.
Well, I want to ask you, in my day, teachers were very sarcastic. Sarcasm was the language they used. So if you turned up late for something, they'd say, oh, nice of you to drop in.
Do
they still do that?
Yeah, I promise you. There's this boy in my history class who is late all the time. And as soon as he comes in, the teacher just ignores him. He sits down and he's like, oh, didn't see you there.
Oh, so they still do it. The only reason I ask is there's somebody called Emily Sieber, who's the head of science at Beedale School in Hampshire. She said teachers should be encouraged to use sarcasm. She wrote a piece in the Times Educational Supplement saying, I think we should be free to use sarcasm. She thinks that teachers...
I think she's making a problem out of absolutely nothing. Mountain out of a molehill.
Well, she thinks that teachers are being... Because these days, you can't give offence like you used to be able to. I mean, some of our teachers were, quite apart from the beatings they used to give you, they were, you know, quite deliberately offensive.
Yeah.
Whereas these days, what she's saying is, I think we should be free to use sarcasm. I fail to see why responding to a student who's forgotten their homework with, oh, you remembered your work again. I'm so glad to see you're taking your education seriously.
They still do that now. Honestly, some people need to get a life because she's making a problem where there actually is not one.
So they are sarcastic. Because she says it's more creative, a bit of sarcasm.
Yeah, first of all, some teachers are more sarcastic. But I also have teachers who are not as sarcastic. And I think it's just because they're less sarcastic people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And also some teachers have a more personal style of teaching.
But what about
and other teachers to prefer to be more by the book?
What about this thing about safe spaces and this arrives at university? You know, if anybody goes into a university or a college and gives a speech and there's a chance of somebody being offended by it.
Yeah,
now,
this I think is a bit of an issue because my form tutor was telling us about how when she was at university, this like really right-wing, like Britain First type guy came in to give a speech, And obviously that wouldn't be allowed to happen at a university anymore. But she says it was really good because we all went and we were all just really angry with him. And we really gave him a bit of like a...
roasting.
A metaphorical... Yeah, a roasting. Or like I was going to say a metaphorical beating. They didn't actually hit him. And she says that you wouldn't be able to do that, so you don't question things as much because you're kept in like bubble wrap a bit.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, maybe it would be... But
so
then
you think
also,
this
like,
safe spaces thing... So in your view, this safe spaces thing ought to be scrapped.
And not anybody, scrapped.
You know, because Jermaine Greer had... She doesn't believe in transgender. But even if you disagree, she should be... Because she's an academic and she's...
Yeah, I understand that. But the problem is if you give like
a platform. Yeah.
I was getting there. If you give a platform to these types of like right wing or potentially offensive views, then some people will take them on board. You know, if some, I know we don't like to link to Nazis and Hitler and stuff.
No, because
if no one had given
the view is as soon as you start mentioning Hitler,
this is my
you've
view.
Lost
this
the
is
argument.
What I say.
Hitler is such a one-off. He ought to be taken out of the equation. You know, those years in Germany between 1933 or between 1932 and 1945 ought to almost be scrubbed off the...
The dangerous thing, more than mentioning him too much, is to mention him too little.
I disagree. I think Hitler is a one-off, and I don't think you can compare the Boer
War... How is it
a
one-off, though? There's been other mass genocides. There's mass genocide in... Kosovo or something.
Yeah, you're quite right.
I didn't know whether I was right. I didn't
it
want
was,
to say
no, it was Kosovo. It was Kosovo. It was during the war in the what we used to call former Yugoslavia. You know, the Croats. And
there's been lots of genocides in Africa.
Oh, lots of genocides. Well, there's Rwanda.
Like, it was bigger. And it's. I think people remember it more also because of how well it was documented. Yeah. I think it's
but
very important that we don't
But in terms of what
forget.
Happened in Germany, and don't forget that's Western Europe as well, in terms of what happened in Germany, that I think is a one-off. I don't think you can, even though you can look at, you know, a million killed in Rwanda and whatever, and also also slavery. You know, I mean, slavery in a way
it was the same.
Yeah,
like,
and that is that in the way of that is being referred
the genocide to genocide of the Native Americans.
Genocide. So lots of genocides, but I think we go back to if you mention Hitler.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You've more or less lost the argument.
But what I was saying was... I don't even remember what I was saying. We've
no,
gone so far off topic.
We've gone far off topic.
Got
now.
No idea. No, what we were saying was giving a platform to like extremist or right-wing views. I think to an extent, it's important not to bubble wrap people, and it's important to give people a reason to fight back against things. But I would say...
Are you saying these people should be given a platform or not be
given
a platform?
No, some of them, you can't say it has to be done on a case-by-case decision-making process. But process. Process.
Well, you know, if you were in an American television show, it would be process.
Process.
As for English over here, process.
Process. Mm. Because also, Jermaine Greer is not the most right-wing person you're ever going to get.
No, for God's sake. Exactly. No, she's a feminist.
So I'd say, Jermaine Greer, yes, she can talk at university.
She's a feminist and an Australian.
But you can't say all of these things can be said because some things just can't be. And also, it's
why
just
can
people...
some things not be said? Why can't
no, they can be said, but yeah. just not in that kind of...
Or tweeted. What do you think about the you know, Phil Neville taking over as the...
The Phil Neville thing.
Yeah, I mean, they're digging up tweets from 20 years ago, out of context. And he is a patently decent guy.
Right. Okay, when it's been... But you don't know he's a good guy.
Well, I do know he's
people
a good guy.
People have said that people are good guys and then they're not being good guys.
He is a good guy. You know, you look at...
people would say Hitler.
Very amusing. Yeah.
No.
People, you could look at people like Jimmy Savile or Harvey Weinstein and know that they're not good guys. Phil Neville, he's got a daughter that's got cerebral palsy and he's a very caring dad. His wife says he's a good guy.
Says he's a good guy. Wow, what a glowing testimony.
Well, it was actually, if you read the whole tweet that she did.
Phil Neville, fine. Like, he can go, whatever. He can carry on.
But this whole thing about digging up... Okay, go on.
What I would say, though, is when you tweet something that's going into the public domain and you have to be more careful about what you tweet. You can say whatever you want, you can't tweet it. It's not the same thing. No matter how much people say, well, this is my personal profile, whatever, it's not the same thing. And that is something that people need to understand, is that tweeting something is not the same as saying it within your close circle of friends.
No, you're tweeting...
And when you put something out, you are at risk of that being dug up and put wherever you want. So you have to think about things.
Mm. Well, I think every day of several jokes, which I then think, I better not tweet that because it might be misconstrued. But, I don't mean it. If it's a joke that's maybe got a tinge of... could be interpreted as sexist or racist.
Therefore,
I don't do it. Which is a shame because what I'm talking about is other people's missing... And I had this on the radio. I've said stuff on the radio which not for a second is it offensive. And I know it's not offensive because I know where the line is. I know what I mean. But one person mishears it, misconstrues it, well then you're hauled over the coals for it.
I think that's different. I mean, but for God's sake, people do say stuff and it's like, how can you be that stupid? The problem is we live in a different world and you can't if you want to be completely safe from, or you stand up and you have to take the criticism. That's why I'm not condoning anything that Katie Hopkins does. I think she's a little bit insane, but she, at least what she does is she makes the comments and she has to deal with all the criticism that she gets. That's what you're going to have to do.
It's an interesting diagnosis there. She's a little bit insane. It's like she goes through examination. Well, I think you're okay. You're just a little bit insane.
No, she's not.
Take two of these, and if it gets any worse, come back and visit me.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, you have to just accept that if you want to tweet the jerk, that's fine, but you might be up for critique and criticism about it.
Well, but the problem is, it doesn't bother me because I'm not running for office anywhere. But the problem is, if I tweet something which is a joke and it's not meant offensively and it's not an offensive joke, and I'm intelligent enough to know what's offensive, what's not offensive, but there's a possibility someone somewhere might misconstrue it, and then they dig it up 20 years later when I've been selected as manager of England. I think it's...
You've been selected as manager of England anytime soon.
Well, it's a possibility. Who knows? Don't rule anything in or anything out.
I think people need to be careful about what they say, but also there needs to be less... There should never be censorship.
Can I just... And we forgot to do this at the start. Apologise to all those of you who are waiting for us to talk about herbal tea.
Because someone did a very funny comment saying herbal... Teas,
verbal
teas.
Teas, T-E-A-S-E.
And we liked that a lot.
That was really good.
But we...
that was a tweet,
wasn't it?
But we didn't do it. So apologies.
We didn't prepare, we didn't get teas, we didn't research it. So
we didn't research it. Not that we've researched anything else particularly, but we didn't research herbal teas.
We didn't research it.
But who knows, in the future...
Maybe. It adds to the suspense, I think, more than anything.
That was our cliffhanger, but there will be another cliffhanger. Let's talk takeaway food now. There's a guy called Rob Davis who tweeted, Is there a food with a higher differential between how good it tastes at the time and how gross you feel afterwards than Chinese takeaway? Now, I know you like a Chinese takeaway.
I don't feel that gross after Chinese takeaway. No, I don't. Yeah. I had Chinese at my friend's house.
Oh, did you? So you've been having foreign Chinese? And no,
had foreign Chinese.
Where from?
It was from...
Well, with people...
No, one I hadn't heard of. It was called, like, Red Sahai or something. I don't know. I just made that up. Made that out of absolutely nowhere.
Brilliant. It's a good name for a Chinese.
No, it's probably Red called, like, Hong Kong. Or and she was like, oh, and it's a really good one. Nowhere near as good as ours.
Yeah. Did you tell her that?
Yeah. Prawn crackers were rubbish. They were like ones you'd buy at Morrison's.
Really?
Yeah, honestly.
It's shocking. Now, to move on from that to television. And the thing we've been watching, I'm not a binge-watching type of guy, as we said last week. So yeah. I can't
watch... Well, I don't binge-watch that much.
I've got a short attention span, so I can't watch... you know, once I've watched one or two. Big Little Lies, you sort of binge-watched. I watched one and then watched another one and then
you
missed
watched,
out
like, three and then you missed out, like, three and then you watched the last one and you were like... Oh, I didn't think it was very good. And then I was I didn't think it was very good.
Well, I'll tell you what.
And I say, if you've not watched three of the episodes, you cannot judge it.
I can't see why Big Little Lies has been praised that much. And the reason I'm saying that is that there wasn't really a character that you could have...
But no, that's why it was so good. Because the women in it were all flawed, which you don't find in drama.
But everybody was flawed. The men were flawed as
exactly.
well.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's why it was good. It felt like... I thought the characters were one of its major strong points.
Didn't you find it depressing? See, you're a young person. Therefore, I'm just thinking, if you aspire to be rich and, you know, and live in a nice place like Monterey and have a big house with a swimming pool
and all
that...
Yeah, but they focus on six misfit characters because they're interesting.
Well, everybody... But everybody in it. And, you know, they just thought to yourself, oh, why would I want to aspire to that? Because they're all so miserable. They were all rich and miserable as sin, all of them.
No, but that's what he was painting. He was painting an image of these rich people, rich kids, very cold lives. Like, that was what he was showing. He doesn't have to, like... Same as some of these things that are set in, sort of, like, council estates or, like, tower blocks or whatever... They're grim. Like, everyone seems unhappy.
Yeah, but they're grim. And you can think to yourself, well, if I had that sort of... You know, if I had that sort of
life...
No, but
it's showing how money is corrupting. You miss out on almost half of the series of character development.
But they didn't develop. They were miserable at the start and they were miserable at the end.
They were miserable at the end. They had the scene on the beach.
Yeah, they had the scene on the beach. They were happy now because they'd killed the guy. Spoiler alert, by the way. They were happy because they'd killed the guy. Oh, brilliant. So you just kill the guy and then you're all happy.
No, because...
There was a sort of like a tacked-on feminist
they'd
ending.
They all had it out. You know, my only problem with it is that Nicole Kidman's been praised when she's crap in it. She slips out of her American accent all the time. She's honestly rubbish in it. Reese Witherspoon should have won the Golden Globe.
Do you want to hear my impersonation of Nicole Kidman doing an American accent?
Yeah, go on.
You're right, mate. It's great, mate.
Wallaby.
Yeah, Wallaby.
Sheila. No, she's honestly, it's rubbish.
Okay.
If I can give one kernel of truth this episode, Nicole Kidman, paw.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Ruth Kellner, the kernel of truth. As you're the kernel of truth, tell me about...
No, I'm not the kernel of truth. It was a kernel
of truth. Kernel with a K. I was going to talk a little bit about this scandal this week about President's Club and these hostess/waitresses.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what to think about this, really. I mean, it's awful.
I think once you've... Isn't it funny? Because that's been criticised so much, or there's been so much talk about it. It was the lead story on the BBC News, and there's nothing to say apart from the fact that it's reprehensible.
Yeah, and they've talked about it for 2 days solid.
Yeah.
And there honestly is nothing else to say. It's absolutely terrible. Yeah, there's nothing else to say. Nothing new to say.
I mean, I used to go... I've been to events like that when...
Have you now?
Well, back in the 80s, I did a feature for the Mail on Sunday magazine, U Magazine, and I followed Tommy Docherty, a well-known football manager, around to various after-dinner events where he gave speeches to all male gatherings. And they were laddish, and they were pretty...
Yeah.
At the time, I thought they were pretty awful... But they weren't at the level of the President's Club, which sounded like it to another level.
I think this is the only new point that we had, and we kind of discussed this. There's a lot of women-only events. There's women-only gyms. There's women-only tents at festivals. There's loads of women-only spaces.
Mm.
And a lot of men get quite upset about it because either they'll say, oh, well, it shouldn't be in the sense of equality, that it should, nothing should ever be women only. And also, we don't have our own spaces. I think it's important for men to have safe spaces where they can talk about mental health issues. But this
I don't think at the Presence Club they're sitting around talking about it.
When you get groups of men together without any women, they're not good environments.
Okay, well, now, last week's fantastic cliffhanger was that we were going to talk about herbal teas. Disappointed everybody by not talking about herbal teas. You've got another fantastic cliffhanger for this week.
No, this one is good. We're going to do meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And about kind of like, yeah, like clean eating and meditation apps and like veganism. Should we link it to Hitler? Is that it? We're done. Bye-bye. We should say bye.
All right. Well, all right.
We do that. Tune in next week.
That's it. Tune in next week. I never say tune in next week, just in case we can't think of anything to do next week.
And we just sack it off.
But you know, watch out. Watch the skies. There may be another one. Ruth, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.